And now you want to ask, well, where on page 200, which would be a very good question. If you look at the left side of the page, the third paragraph, about 10 lines down, it says Lael Gimel. In parentheses, Lael Gimel. No, except for the ones that were put on the back. I'm sorry if we ran out. Yeah, there should be some. Here we have another extra one. Anybody need? Hey, you guys, okay, so again, page 202, left side of the page, right where my pen is, about 8-9 lines down, where it says Lael Gimel. And this is from the Sfas Emes, as it says on the top there. The Sfas Emes was the second Ger Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh Leib. He was the grandson of the Chidushei Harim, who was the first Ger Rebbe. The Sfas Emes was the Rebbe of Ger from around 1867, when the Chidushei Harim died, until about 1904. He was Nifter in 04 or 05, I'm not sure which year. An Adam Gadol B'Torah and B'Tzidkus, and his forum are widely learned across all of Klal Yisrael. So he brings here a line from Ma'osur. Timu Kol Hashmanim. So the Yevanim came in, and they were metame, they defiled all of the oils in the Beis HaMikdash. So I just want to comment here that what's important for us to know, brought down in several Sforim, that the Greeks did not intend to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. That was not their intention. Their intention was to defile and contaminate the Beis HaMikdash. And they did everything within their power to do that. That's why they went in there. And it wasn't just that while they were in there bringing their idols and their pagan gods that things became tamei. Timu kol hashamayim. They were intentionally in there in order to make it tamei. And that's what they wanted to do to the Jewish people. As the Or Gedaliahu writes, Rav Gedaliah Shur, that the Greeks were fine with Jewish culture. Lox and bagels would be wonderful with them, no problem. But mitzvos, Torah, Kedusha, no. That's what they were after, and they tried to rip the Kedusha out of Klal Yisrael. So they didn't destroy that building, that Beis HaMikdash. They thought it was a beautiful building. Look what outstanding architecture it is. But not Kedusha. No, that we won't stand for. No holiness. Everybody is the same. No holiness. That's Greek thought and Greek culture. So timu kol hashmanim. They went in there and they were metame. They made everything tame, all the oils. So the Sfas Emes asks a question. Af shenisher pach echad. Well, hold on a second. What do you mean timu kol hashmanim? They were metame all the oil except for one flask. So timu kol hashmanim doesn't seem really to be a correct statement. Almost all the shmanim. What about the pach? What about the jar that was left over? Now, you could say that timu kol hashmanim means 99.9% of all the oil, and you could call that kol hashmanim. That wouldn't be, you know, incorrect to say that. But the Sfas Emes feels that timu kol hashmanim is telling you they made all the oil tameh. So what about the one flask that they didn't? Imhoya.
Are we saying that Ma'asor was written with Ruach HaKodesh?
Well, Ma'asor, I think we said, was written by Rishon, right? We saw that the other day, right? So I'm going to assume that it's written by Ruach HaKodesh because it's incorporated into the tefillos of Klal Yisrael. And any tefillah which we have incorporated, even B'derech Minhag, into our tefillos, yes, of course, we would assume it's written Baruch HaKodesh. So he says, Im hayo nignaz bekarka, if this jar of oil, this flask, was hidden in the ground, and the Beis Yosef says that it was hidden in the ground, then Osi Shapir, That's Aleph Shin. Usi Shapir. It's an Aramaic expression. It means it comes out okay. We can resolve the difference. D'lo haya beheichal, because it wasn't actually in the Beis HaMikdash. It was underground. So Timu Kol Hashmanim, they were metame, they defiled all the oil in the Beis HaMikdash, but not the oil that was underground. Okay, you could look at it lefi hapshat, in a pshat way, like that. This was in a different location, underground. The Beis Yosef writes that that's how the Hashmonoim knew that the Yevanim never even touched this bottle of oil. Because had they touched it or moved it, even with the seal on it, it would have been kamtame. So the fact that they used it, that shows that they knew it wasn't even moved. How did they know that? It was buried underground somewhere, and they found it, and it clearly had not been disturbed. So that's all the fi hapshat. Now the Sfas Emes is saying something, is going to say something different than that. Achein, however, Nira, it appears to me that he's going to say a different pshat. Shazeh be'emes hanes, that this is actually part of the miracle. Af shetimu kol hashmanim, even though they were metame, they contaminated all of the oil in the Beis HaMikdash. Nishur pach zeh, this jar remained. How? Va'oso pach shehoya b'neis nis'aleh. That this jar of oil, the jar that the miracle was effected upon, it became elevated, the yotza min hageshem, and it left physical reality. So this jar of oil was not part of the physical world. The nace, you might say, was already hovering on it, was already there. And yes, they were metame all the oil. That means all the oil that was subject to the laws of nature and physicality. But this jar was, so to speak, right in front of them, but it was beyond the realm of physicality, and therefore, so to speak, they didn't see it. They couldn't reach it. They couldn't touch it. It was already in the world of nace. And a nace is something that comes from above this world. It's not really part of this world. Any true nace, which is lamala min hateva, is something from a higher world that's acting on our world for a moment or for a time, like Kriyas Yam Suf. So this flask of oil was above nature. He says, yotza min hageshem. That's what he means. It came out, it left, it departed the realm of physicality. V'lohoya mamashus shel shemen. And it wasn't physical oil the way we know oil to be. Mamashus, the stuff of oil, it wasn't that anymore. V'chein kol nes. Then he says on a broader way, so too every miracle, a true miracle, shayotse min hagashmius, which departs from the realm of physicality for that moment. It's not physical at that moment. V'osi shapir, now it also comes out well, that's that same expression, and he is inferring to a question that is also raised by the Beis Yosef and others, and I have to just step out of the text for a minute to say what the question is. Famous question about Hanukkah. If there was enough oil for one day, then the miracle was only 7 days. The first day wasn't a miracle. There are numerous answers to this question. So some say that the victory over the Greeks, which was an ace, is the first day, and the 7 additional days is the miracle with the oil. Others say that they only put in a little bit of oil for each of the 8 days, and it miraculously lasted the whole time, even on day one. So many different answers. Now he says, according to what we just said, that flask of oil was already outside of the gedorim, the parameters of nature, that means there's a miracle happening from day one. V'asi shapir shehoya hanes belel aleph gam kein. Now I'm back in the text. And the miracle was even on the first day too. Shenoda shehoya lemafreya nes bepachzeh, when they understood retroactively, the mafreya means retroactively, that there was a miracle with this jar of oil. So the fact that they found it, and they found this jar of oil that was above nature, that was not subject to the laws of nature, and he says was not even mamashu shel shemen, it wasn't physical oil the way we know it to be, that's already a miracle. So the miracle happened from the start, from the get-go. Even on day one, it's a miracle because this is miraculous oil. It's not regular shemen. That's a miracle from the very beginning, hence 8 days. That's what he means in that sentence. Yes, Revison, please.
Okay, it sounds like that it is also maybe a miracle, and I think you said this in other classes, that we are, the whole Jewish people are B'derech Nes. It's a miracle that they could see it.
Yes.
They saw it.
Right.
The others didn't see it.
Right.
The fact that they could see it.
Right.
And every day that they could see it. So that would also account for 8 days.
That would account for all 8 days. The fact that they could have a relationship, the Chashmonoim, with this oil that was outside the realm of nature is in itself a miracle. Yes.
And it reminds me of when Avraham Avinu took Yitzchak up to the Akedah and he asked Eliezer and Yishmael for him, you know, do you see where we're going? And they couldn't see it.
Right.
But he and Yitzchak could see it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the Rebbe is saying it's a little bit similar in concept to when Avraham Avinu is taking Yitzchak to the Akedah and they see the mountain and Avraham sees a cloud on the mountain and he says to Eliezer and Yishmael, do you see anything there? And they said, no, we see a mountain. He said to Yitzchak, what do you see? He said, I see a cloud on the mountain. So Avraham and Yitzchak were looking at the same mountain as Eliezer and Yishmael. They saw a cloud on the mountain. Eliezer and Yishmael did not. They were seeing something spiritual. They knew that was the makom of the Akedah. Eliezer and Yishmael were not capable of seeing that. So very similar as well here. The Chashmonaim found that, oh, they could see it. The Yavanim, it sounds like from the Sfas Emes, it wasn't possible for them to even see this flask of oil because it was outside of the realm of nature. Yeah, please, Mrs. Fran.
So Limafreya means that B'nai Yisrael saw it after it didn't happen?
Yeah, either means the Chashmonoim or the Chachamim of that time.
Didn't see it till after?
They saw this oil, but then they saw that it lasted. Then they understood that it was, once it lasted all the way through, they understood it was miraculous from the start. And so that's the first part. Now, you may have heard there's a midrash that says that the jars of the Pachim Ketanim that Yaakov Avinu went back for a few parshios ago, he returned for those small jars. That there's a midrash that says that was miraculous oil that he had, and it was Min HaShemayim, and that oil found its way through history to become this oil that was in the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. There's a midrash like that. So it has a whole long historical journey where it goes from the Pachim Ketanim Yaakov Avinu had all the way to this Hanukkah event. That's a long time for that oil to be around. That's pretty miraculous already. So it's a similar idea that this oil was miraculous from the start. And it's not the normal way to look at it. The normal way to look at it is that it's regular oil, and the nace happened to the regular oil. That's how it's usually understood. But Sfas Emes is presenting a different point of view on it. Yeah, Elka, please.
So that would explain why it was so important for Yaakov to go back and get
those right.
little
jars. Right.
I never understood that.
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
Right. That would explain it very well about returning for that special oil. Okay, now he says from his grandfather, who he quotes often in the Sfas Emes, I'll read the abbreviation for you. V'adonenu morenu v'rabenu zikeni. Our master, our teacher, my grandfather, Zal, zichrono livracha, he's referring to his grandfather, the Chidushei Harim. Omar, so he says a different lesson, an additional lesson, I should say. Shepach zeh. This jar of oil, remez, it hints to something. Shalaolam nishar nekuda b'yisroa. There always remains a point, a place within any Jew Asher HaKadosh Baruch Hu Megin Aleha, that God protects this place within every single Jew. Shalo Yesham Maga Nochri, that Gentile touch cannot reach that place. Right, foreign touch cannot reach that place. Maga Nochri. Va'azeh Ne'amar, and it is about this that we say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Magen Avraham. Hashem protects Avraham. He's the shield of Avraham. We say every day in Shemona Esrei that there's part of us which is like this flask of oil that's completely shielded from any harm and from any invasion, from any outside source, completely shielded. And Magen Avraham. Avraham here means Avraham Avinu, but it refers to that part of us. We are all descendants of Avraham Avinu. He is protecting that part of us. That means to say that each and every one of us has a place inside of ourselves which is completely pure and holy, has never been damaged or affected by anything, will never be damaged or affected negatively by anything. It's always there inside each and every one of us. To me, that's a tremendous message of hope, because it means that a person can always recover from anything. If there's an experience, I mention this when I speak to groups that either professionals who deal with trauma and people who have been abused, and it's very common that you hear a victim of abuse saying that the experience, it shook them all the way to the core of their being, to the core. So they felt violated all the way to the core of their being. That's how it feels. That's the experience. So what I try and say over is that it certainly feels that way, but there will come a time when a person will open up to the reality that there is a little part in them very deeply held inside of them which was not violated. And then that's where the refuah comes from. Because it's like water from a spring, like a Mayon HaMisgaber, it's always bringing up new water. Of an underground spring, new water is always coming. That's how we are as well. We have that place inside of us that's completely pure, and there's always hope, therefore, because there's a part in a Jew which has not become tame ever, and never will. And it's from there that all, you might say, all recovery, tikkun, rectification can happen because of its pure, very pure and unaffected, undefected state. Yeah, Linda, please.
Is that little part spiritual, as in, above Teva, that's what he's talking about, like the oil, or is that little physical thing that we are resurrected from physically, you know, there's like a part that never disintegrates?
The loose bone, right.
Which is that?
It sounds to me like it's a spiritual thing, it sounds to me. It's like a ruchniyastika thing. I can't be quite sure, but that's just how it sounds to me. Yeah. As you, yes, please, Gail.
Is that not the neshama?
What's that? It is a realm of the neshama. Okay. It's a very high rung on the neshama, because the neshama itself can be, the lower levels of the neshama can be affected by our own negative behavior, by our averos. It doesn't become, tainted completely. It's more like a stain in a garment, and you can wash it out. So that's one level of our neshama, where an avera is like a stain, and teshuva washes it out. But there's another higher level of our neshama, which is beyond that experience of chet altogether. So it's a realm of our neshama, going back to your question, Gil, and at that level up, and upward, because the neshama goes higher and higher, there's no maga nachri, there's no experience of being violated or affected whatsoever. So that's Magen Avraham, and he continues, Bechosamo shel Kohen Gadol. It had the seal of the Kohen Gadol on it, that jar of oil. That's a remez, that hints to Al Avraham. The Kohen Gadol is also a remez, a hint to Avraham Avinu, as it says, Ata Kohen, Adam HaGadol. The Pasuk, I wish I could tell you where that is, but I don't know where it is. But it's referring to Avraham. It says, you are the Kohen. Now, he wasn't a Kohen, so to speak, but he has the Bechina. That means an aspect, a quality of a Kohen, Adam HaGadol, and he's also called the greatest of men. So with Avraham, you have the word Kohen mentioned, Ata Kohen, and you have Adam HaGadol, Kohen Gadol. Both words are mentioned by Avraham Avinu in conjunction with Avraham Avinu. So the seal of the Kohen Gadol, according to the Chidushei Harim, is a remez to the seal of Avraham Avinu, who is like a Kohen Gadol. That's what he's saying here. Remez al Avraham at Dagohen said, Vahu gam kein kanal, as we said before. Rak. Now this is the next step in the mimer, the next step in the little journey here. Yes, Elka, please. Yeah, I don't know. But what I'm familiar with is that it came down from Shemayim. Maybe it went earlier in history. I don't know. Rak, however, shenakuda zu tzricha chipus. Now he adds an important step in terms of our own avoda. This nakuda, this point, this place within ourself, which is completely pure, you have to look for it. Right? Tzricha chipus. Kipus means to look. L'chapes is to search. It needs looking.
Is it to dig also or no?
Is that? No?
Is it? Oh, no.
Ma'amin. So how do you get to that? How do we get to this deep place within ourselves? Ma'amin sheyesh b'chol dover nekuda genuza. It comes from a belief that in all things there is something hidden and special. V'chopes b'chol kocho, and when a person looks for that with all of their energy and all of their strength, nimtse slow, then you find it. U'kamochein badku v'lo matzu. So likewise, they looked, when the Chashmonoim went into the Beis HaMikdash, they looked hard for this oil. It wasn't just like, boom, there it is, miraculously it appeared. But rather, they had to find this special, completely pure place in the Beis HaMikdash, which was almost completely defiled. And they had to have the frame of mind that we're going to find it here. We're going to find that completely pure place. So Budku, they searched. V'lo matzu rak pach echoy. And they found only one jar. But they found it. Michlal shetzricha chipus. You can infer from here that you have to look for it. Because the Chachamim say they went in Beis HaMikdash, they looked budkul. That's like a lashon bedikas chametz. That means you're looking around everywhere, in every nook and cranny. Is it here? Is it here? Is it here? They put forth tremendous effort to find this. So this is a search that's happening on a physical level and on a spiritual level. They're looking around the Beis HaMikdash, and they're also looking around spiritually for that place which has not been defiled. Hasn't been defiled yet. V'zeh atzmo neiros Chanukah. This is the Chanukah neiros. Shemi'irin. And they shed light. They bring light to us. Shenuchal limtso nekuda ha'genuza. They help us find that special, pure, hidden place. They have it. When we light the Neiros Chanukah, the light that comes out of them is equal to that pure light. It's coming there out of the Neiros. Ki kamochein begolus zeh nimsa nekuda genuza shelo nitmeis kanal. Because even in this long golus, there is a nekuda. There's a place and a point which has not been defiled in all of our journeys through exile and all the countries we've been in and the horrors that we have experienced and still are. There still is a place which is like a Hanukkah candle that's completely pure. That's shining through the menorah, and we can always find that no matter where we are, no matter where we live. It's there. It's coming out of our menorah. I'm going to finish up, then I'll get to some questions. V'chein b'nefesh kol ish Yisroel. So too, within the soul of every Jew, Yesh Nekuda Nishmas Elokam Ima'al, there's this place, a godly place, from above. V'hamitzvos, last point he's going to make, mitzvos heim neiros. Mitzvos in general, he said, are like candles. Any mitzvah. Shenuchal limso nekuda hanal. That you can find the nekuda. When a person is in a mitzvah, doing a mitzvah, in that mitzvah somewhere is this special pure place. Any mitzvah. It's in there. It's the kol mitzvahs. Ukasiv, and it's also written, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam Chofes Kol Chadre Baten. The candle of Hashem is the soul of a person. It seeks out all of the inner chambers of our belly, literally, of our insides. So our neshama is called a ner. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. Ubizman Ze Sheyesh Mitzvah B'Neros. During this time of Hanukkah, when there is a mitzvah bedavka with neiros, niftachim kol devorim shenikraim neiros. Anything which is called a ner is opened up. Ki kein heim inyan hamitzvos, because that's how mitzvos work. Shekol dover sheyesh lo achiza b'hamitzvah. Anything related to the mitzvah that you're doing, anything achiza, holding on to it, related. B'shem, whether it's in title, in name, o beremez, or simply hinted to. So this is to me a tremendous chiddush. The chiddush Harim is saying as Fas Emes, that because the mitzvah is done with ner, neros Hanukkah, therefore anything which is called ner, not just the candles in our menorah, anything that is called a ner is opened up. That means our neshama. Because our neshama is called a ner. Ner Hashem, Nishmas Adam. So when we light that candle in the menorah, that candle opens up and gives light. So too our own ner, our own neshama opens up. They're related. That's a candle, this is a candle. And that's what he says there. If it has an achiza, some kind of kesher to this mitzvah, the mitzvah opens up, it will also open up at the same time. And that's what happens when we light the Hanukkah candles, that light, that pure, untouched, untainted light comes out, it's open up, and it opens up inside of us as well at the same time. So they found it, the Chashmonoim, because they had that very pure kavana of what they were looking for and what they needed to find in the midst of all of that tumah. And they found it, and it was an ace, and it was an ace like oil, then the mitzvah was done, and it happens inside of us as well. Yeshlo aliyah. Anything that's related to that mitzvah has an aliyah too. It's also elevated at the same time. Al yidei ha-mitzvah, by means of that mitzvah, v'zeh shokasuv, as it says, derushim, they are sought out, l'chol cheftzehem. Literally for all of their desires, but I think he's looking at it, any object, any chefetz, which is darush, which is sought after, connected to this mitzvah, is also lifted up. So this Fas Emes and his line of idea here takes the concept of the nace in finding the oil. The nace, the oil itself, was a nace. So the first day was also a nace too. And that represents something inside of us. Mogen Avraham, the seal of the Kohen Gadol, unbroken, always, can't be penetrated by Tuma. They found it with their special Kavana. It's inside of the menorah. It's unlocked when we light it, and it unlocks inside of us as well. That's the basic trend of thought. Yeah, Rabbi Sein, then Julie.
One is that we know why this is connected to the third night of Hanukkah, and when we came in, there were four lights burning, and now there are three.
Over there? I don't know.
So that's one. And the other
thing. Let me just answer that quickly. Okay. So, no, to my knowledge, this is not specifically related to the third night of Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. It's just that this is when he said it.
Okay.
That's why it says Lel Gimel.
Okay.
He said it or he wrote it at that time. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, in terms of their service, church, it sounds to me like it was not, it was there. And the miracle wasn't that it got there. The miracle was that they found it, and that they were searching, that they knew it was there. The question is whether they would search properly, spiritually, to be able to find it.
Right.
And so they accomplished that. And it sounds like for us, we maybe wouldn't be able to do that. But now, since the light is here, when we're aided by that light, we have the opportunity to find something akin to what they found.
I would agree with that. And they searched it. They were zocha to find that Shemin Zayas. It wasn't just that they looked really well with their flashlights and found it. This was a spiritual thing. They were on the Madrega to be able to be zocha to find that Shemin.
So they didn't make it happen. It was there, but they were able to bring themselves to that place where they could see it.
Right, right. Yes, Julie, please.
I wasn't clear on this one point.
Please.
Are we saying that any mitzvah outside, not lying, just in life, any mitzvah that we do while we're doing that mitzvah or involved in the mitzvah is bringing out this purity that we're talking about?
Yes.
But then he distinguished with this mitzvah that the things that are attached to this mitzvah, not any mitzvah.
Right.
Of the lighting, anything attached to that, which I'm not sure what that means, anything attached to that, but when we light the candle, like, I'm just wondering about the kavanah. When we're lighting the candles, we're looking at these candles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, is the kavanah that we're talking about here, that when we're looking at the lights, we're trying to think about the fact that, you know, we all have this place of purity, and that that you were trying to sort of, I don't know, through that rededicate, what can we get out of that one? What's the kavanah? We're looking at the lights.
Just what you said, really. Just what you said, that that light is shining out of the menorah, and when we look at it, we're being affected by it. My Rebbe Zatzara Baturski said that a person's view of reality changes by looking at the menorah. Simply by looking at it changes the way we see the world. So that light is affecting us. And secondly, when we light the menorah and that light, you know, that fire kindles, it's happening inside of us too. And that was that last point he said, that we also have a candle inside of us, which is our neshama.
Mm-hmm.
So that candle lights up, and therefore anything connected to it, which here means our neshama, is lit up too. So those are the things to think about. So it opens.
Okay. It opened up. Maybe, like, as I was listening to a different shir, but she was talking about when looking at the lights, you know, one of the kavanas is to think about rededicating, the whole idea of dedication.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if we're saying, you know, it's sort of lighting us up, it's lighting our neshama up, no matter what we've done and what we have to work on, that maybe gives us the desire, the impetus, the whatever, to do better.
Forge on. Right. It's this tremendous hope in the menorah. You know, we use it, you know, as a, so to speak, a symbol of light. And there's a reason for that, because the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash that was done in the time of the Chashmonaim, taking something that's already there, Beis HaMikdash wasn't destroyed, and rededicating it, finding its pure place, getting back to that place, and it's okay, now from here onward, we're going to start. And we can do that inside of, pardon me, inside of ourselves as well. A very, you know, powerful message. Sure. Yes, please, sorry.
Watching your whole issue surrounding Geshe Nekuda and Nishmas Elokam Yimam, I know in this class we've learned Hashem created.
Right.
It's not a piece of Hashem.
So right.
I just wanted to clarify that, because I see that in book after book.
Mm-hmm.
There's a piece of God in you. There's a piece of God in you.
Right.
I'm like, that's not right.
You're right. We learned that. Balatanya writes that. The Ramchal says that. That the neshama that we have is not a piece of God. You can't break God into pieces. The neshama is a created being, which means it wasn't always here. So by definition, it can't be part of Hashem. Hashem was always here. He's not a created, he's the creator. So he created our neshama. And this lashon of Elokam Ima'al, the way I would translate it is godly. We have a godly neshama inside of ourselves, not that we have a piece of God. And even though it's translated like that often in English books, but it's really not correct. It's not precise. And I think godly would be a better translation that should be used. But you picked up on it, and that's what you said is exactly correct, Dory. Yeah, please, Zalka, then Mrs. Strand, please, yeah.
I have a similar question.
Please.
What Dory was saying, mm-hmm. That is, what does that specifically mean? Ner Hashem Yishmas Adam.
You're asking me. I don't know what it really means, but the idea is that this creation of light, right? Light in the world is anything Hashem made to reveal his presence. That's what we call light. That's also why we call the Greeks and Yavan dark. The world would look at Greece as light and all their accomplishments in philosophy and art. We look at it as dark because there's no God there. There's no God in their world. So Ner, whenever you see the word Ner, in particular here, Ner Hashem, we're talking about a revelation of Hashem's presence. That's Ner, that's Or. So Ner Hashem, Nishma Hashem, certainly our Neshama, which is pure and holy and bright, is a revelation, a clear revelation of Hashem's presence in the world. So that's how I would look at it.
Right, because otherwise, like if you say Ner Hashem, it almost sounds like that same thing. There's a part of Hashem that is
right.
Ner.
Right, but it doesn't mean that.
No.
Yeah, he made this candle. He created this candle. Yes, please, Mrs. Fran.
I thought that there is no separation between Tov and Ra. And here you're saying that there is Tov, and there is a separation.
Yeah. Hamavdil ben kodesh l'cho, ben or l'choshech. Hashem separates between light and darkness. There is a separation and a distinction between Tov and Ra. It's true that the very high levels up there in Shemayim, that it's all one. That's true. But when it comes down into our world, there's Tov and there's Ra, and Tov is meant to be embraced and Ra is meant to be rejected or overcome. And those are two different things. Ultimately, Gamzu Lutova. Ultimately, Ra is in the service of good. We won't see that until the time of Mashiach. So for right now, we have to live in a world where Tov and Ra have a very firm distinction between them, and we have to make sure that we know that distinction. Yes, please, Mrs. Fran.
Does that transitively go to Neiros Shabbos also?
So I'm going to, you're talking about the Ner concept here? I would say yes, it does. And the Nesiva Shalom, he writes that the Or HaGanus, that the hidden light from the beginning of creation that the Sforim say is in the Hanukkah candles, the Nesiva Shalom says it's in Shabbos candles too. So they are related. And the Kedushas Levi, it says something that I saw this year on his Ma'amorim in Hanukkah, that candles always had the ability to be part of Avodas Hashem. And even when the Beis HaMikdash was defiled by the Yavanim and we were not able to light the menorah, he said that as a given. He says, but most definitely all the Jews were still, the Jews who were keeping mitzvahs, were still lighting Shabbos candles in their house. He just takes it as a premise. Of course. So we didn't have a menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, but you can be certain that they were lighting Shabbos candles in their home, even though the Greeks said Shabbos is punishable by death, so you can be sure the Jews were lighting candles. So the Kedushas Levi says Neros, especially mitzvah neros he's talking about are something that's part of the almost daily ongoing nature of avoda for the Jewish people. So that means Ner Chanukah, Ner Shabbos, Ner Yom Tov, Ner Beis HaKnesses, all the things that we involve ourselves with. So they're all affected by this. I think that's what you mentioned. Ner Tamid? Yeah. If I'm going to say yes because it has the word Ner in it. And this Fasema says here, anything which is connected to Ner is affected by Ner Chanukah. So if that's an authentic term, Ner Tamid, if it is an authentic term, I believe it is, then yes, that would be affected as well.
Not the electric light in here.
Right. What it represents. Please.
In a base oval, there's also a Ner.
Right.
And Hashem is there.
Yes. So yes, absolutely. And that Ner really is specifically as Ner Neshama. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a connection to the Neshama of the person who passed away. Yeah. I think get one more, then we'll stop on. Thank you. One more, please, Rabbi Singer.
I just, in response to Julie's question,
yeah.
I was wondering, and I really appreciate that question, what are we taking from it? And the fact that it is so pure and untainted, it seems to me that's what we're aspiring to in our avoda, and it's so hard because we always feel there are other motivations going on, and it's hard to really believe that there is this ability to do something lishma that is completely motivated by tov and no self-serving piece of it. So that if we find and believe that there is really such a place within the person, then it must follow that there is such an activity that will follow from that, and that we can accomplish this action of lishma, but interestingly that for that half hour we don't do anything.
Right.
Because maybe we're just not ready. We have to really take that in and believe it and know that it is possible, and then we forge on and we try to do something lishma, and that is the rededication, because the keli was still there. The keli wasn't the problem. The motivations in terms of what was going on is what was the problem. That's why we were vulnerable to the Greeks, because of what we were doing and what our intentions were, and we had to get back to that place of lishma in the Beis HaMikdash within ourselves and within our actions.
Well said. Thank you. Afreilich and Hanukkah. A lifted Hanukkah to everybody. Next week we'll continue in Derech Hashem, B'zras Hashem.